You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's time for the AccraShare Fan Advantage on the North Shore Drive podcast. I'm Chris Carter from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. We've got a special guest, Greg Bedard, who's a specialist on all things Boston sports, is here to talk Steelers-Patriots with us here on the North Shore Drive podcast. Let's get into it. You are now listening to the North Shore Drive podcast, a show on all things Pittsburgh sports from the writers of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, hosted by Christopher Carter. Hello and welcome to the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter. As always, you can find this show on your favorite podcasting apps and on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoy it. Subscribe to this channel to get all of our daily episodes that come out from all of our different sports writers at the Post-Gazette, as well as our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday episodes of the North Shore Drive podcast. But as always, this is the AccraShare Fan Advantage, where we talk to an opponent expert of the team the Steelers are about to play this week. It's Greg Bedard. I've met him on multiple occasions. He's the founder, the chief, the operator, the president of the everything of the Boston Sports Journal. He's been covering Boston sports for so long. Greg, welcome to the show. How you been, my man?
Thanks for having me, Chris. I wish I could say that I've been good, but in the middle of this 2-10 season and really the last two seasons of this football team, it's been rough. And I just want to preface this and warn the viewers that I just finished the Patriots offensive film from against the Chargers. And so when I watch bad football, I tend to be on the grumpy side. So if I don't sound very excited or enthralled, it has nothing to do with Chris. It has to do with bad football puts me in a bad mood. And I've been watching a lot of bad football this year.
Hey, listen. The Steelers just lost to another 2-10 team, so there's a lot of misery to go around right now when it comes to football talk here. A reminder, this is being brought to you by AccraShare, who brings you the AccraShare Fan Advantage, where all season long we talk to our Steelers insider, Brian Batko, where we get your questions. Submit those questions to AccraShare.com/FanAdvantage. Greg, let's get into a few things here. Before we get into how putrid the offense is, I want to hear from you. Is the Patriots defense for real? Because they lost the last three games, but in each of those three games, they held their opponent to 10 or less points. That's some insane stuff there. And that to me is like, if the Patriots had any semblance of offense, that could be a good team over there. Am I reading too much into the recent games, or is that a really good defense?
I think you're reading a little bit too much into it. Christopher, I think that, look, have they played well at times? Yeah, but this is the defense, and this has been going on for multiple years. I mean, this goes back to the boogeymen of 2019 who turned out to be frauds. They do a good job in the games that they should, and that includes, they gave up 10 points to Indy in Germany. Indy, not exactly a great offense, even though, they do put up points against some people. That, of course, that was in Germany. We don't know how the jet lag factors in for both teams. The Giants, that's a horrible offense. I mean, they have some playmakers. The Giants left a lot of plays on the field in that game with drops, untimely penalties, where, quite frankly, I thought they got jobbed on a couple of holding calls the Giants did in that game. And then this past game against the Chargers, now I haven't watched the defensive film yet, but my impression from the press box was that there were a lot of drops in the game for the Chargers. It was played in a a lot of rain, some wind in the game, so not exactly a clean surface. I mean, you know, but you look at other games, the results are fine. You know, the Commanders, they lost 20-17. It could have been a lot worse in that game. I thought that the Commanders pretty much had their way with the Patriots in that game. The Dolphins put up 31. They did beat the Bills, but, you know, allowed 25. You know, they got completely run over by the Cowboys and the Saints. So, you know, it's a typical Bill Belichick defense in terms of, you know, when they play disciplined and the other team maybe isn't on their P's and Q's, then they're going to look really good. You know, they are playing well despite missing probably two of their best players in terms of Christian Gonzalez, who was off to a really good start as the first round cornerback to the season. Matthew Judon maybe coming back at some point. I don't know what the point is in that, but, you know, he's their best player. They've gotten some guys to step up, but, you know, If I were, you know, I don't know the state of the Steelers right now, and I only know their offensive offense on reputation a little bit from what I've seen. I mean, if you're a decent offense, I don't think the Patriots scare you that much. But if you're challenged and you have some weak spots, yeah, sure, the Patriots are going to present some issues, but they don't turn the ball over very much. They did that a lot the year before. To me, that's an indication of they're not very fast. I don't think they're very fast on defense. And so I don't think there's something to be feared on that side, but they're going to make you earn it. That's for sure.
I hear you on that. And I want to ask you this next question, and this is kind of relating it to an angle that I think some people are starting to argue in Pittsburgh, you know, with Bill Belichick, one of the greatest coaches to ever coach the game of football, has all the resume that you could want for a head coach, but obviously things aren't working this year. What is the tenor right now in New England with the legendary head coach here? Because in Pittsburgh, there are some people who are starting to say maybe Mike Tomlin has worn out his welcome, despite them being 7-5 and they're a completely different spot than the Patriots right now. But people are wondering if the Steelers aren't going to be able to climb out of, you know, being hovering around a 9-win, just slightly above 500 ball. For the Patriots, is there a sense that a time could come where Bill Belichick either retires or goes somewhere else coming very soon?
I would say, Christopher, that, you know, and I don't know how much you guys hear this in Pittsburgh, but I would say a majority, if not a vast majority of the Patriots are done with the Bill Belichick era, that they are eager to move on. It seems like from all indications, and no one's, you know, really talking, it's sort of tea leaf reading, talking to some people behind the scenes. I would say even inside the building, the feeling is that this will come to an end very quickly after the season. I mean, you know, hopefully they come to a nice resolution where perhaps Bill Belichick is traded to another team, you know, very quickly. The feeling is that it's going to be Gerard Mayo as head coach, Bill O'Brien as offensive coordinator. Hopefully, those two guys get to revamp the coaching staff, which I think is in badly need of a revamping, especially on the offensive side of the ball. The personnel office at least needs to be changed, or at least, you know, maybe they, I would, if they go to Mayo, I wouldn't be surprised if they went to more of a Steelers type system where, you know, the GM is in charge of the roster, where we all know that Bill was in charge of everything. And I think that has led to the downturn. But this is, you know, as opposed to Pittsburgh, and I got to be honest with you, I was a guy years ago where I was not the biggest fan of Mike Tomlin, that in terms of his coaching, because I didn't think that I thought that his teams were talented. I didn't think that he won many games that he shouldn't. I didn't think that they pulled many upsets. I will say that he has grown on me in recent years, but I do think that there's a comparison to be made between what's going on in New England, what's going on in Pittsburgh. And I just think, I don't know how you feel about this, but I just think in the way the modern game is in the NFL, I think it's extremely tough for a defensive head coach to have lasting power, because what happens is, and you know, look at Mike Vrabel in Tennessee, same sort of thing, where, you know, you come in and you might install, and you'll probably see this with D'Amico Ryans going, you can come in and install a culture and affect change. But as soon as your offensive coordinator is worth a damn, he's going to get a head coaching shot somewhere.
Very
because
true.
Everybody wants somebody who, and you know, look at what Slowick's doing with CJ Stroud this year. He's going to be a finalist for a lot of jobs, if not, mm-hmm. if he doesn't take one. And all of a sudden, you're basically at ground zero. Now, all right, now what are you going to do? Are you going to promote from within? Are you going to bring in somebody else that is now going to bring in a new playbook and called a different play caller? That's no way to bring up a young quarterback in this league. And that's what Belichick has run into when he was lucky enough. It was Charlie Weiss. Then he had Josh McDaniels ready. And when Josh McDaniels left, then Bill O'Brien was ready to take over. And luckily for Belichick, when O'Brien went to Penn State, Josh McDaniels was available, could come back. But Bill made no preparations for when Josh McDaniels got the Raiders job. And then you've seen what they've done. They went Mac Jones's first 3 years in the league. Josh McDaniels was his offensive coordinator and play caller. Matt Patricia from defense was his offensive play caller, offensive coordinator, and offensive line coach. And then this year he comes in with Bill O'Brien. So three different systems, three different play callers. It's no way to run a team. And so I think you're seeing some, at least from afar, from what I know of what's going on with the Steelers and Matt Canada and all that stuff. And we've seen it with Harbaugh over the years in Baltimore, how many times he's gone through offensive coordinators. And so I just think that it's a challenge. I think that's one of Bill's big struggles, figuring out the offensive side of the ball, especially because the game's changed and every owner wants an offensive coordinator or a new head coach that they can link up with a young quarterback and they can grow together.
I want to continue on this point in just a minute here, because I think that's actually a much more fun discussion of who's going to score more points in the single digits on Thursday night. We'll get to that in a little bit here. But first, I want to remind you all, this show being brought to you by Acrisure is the Acrisure Fan Advantage all season long. Every Friday episode, Brian Batko, one of our Steelers insiders, gives you the in-depth discussion with me, and you could ask him questions through acrisure.com/fanadvantage. Go there, drop the questions in, and then we will answer your shows. We will do a Friday morning show. Normally we record on Thursday, but we do a Friday morning show since it's a Thursday night football game. So do be sure to check out that episode where we give our post game thoughts also on the Steelers Patriots game. But as always, we get an opponent expert every single week on the day before the game. And today, this week, it's Greg Bedard. So check out the Acrisure Fan Advantage all season long. We're also brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. We're over 20 televisions they have that you can reserve for the specific game that you want, whether it's as obscure as Duquesne basketball, or you want to catch Premier League action, or just college football bowl season coming up. Anything you can reserve a TV for, and they were 500 different available beers, 300 of those beers being local, 80 of those local beers being available on tap. Don't try to drink them all Thursday night if you're busy watching that terrible Steelers Patriots game with a little bit of offense. But Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in Pittsburgh, get there, and when you get there, tell them Chris sent you.
Hey there, did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Chris Carter here from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, North Shore Drive podcast, and the Acrisure Fan Advantage. We continue this episode talking with Greg Bedard of the Boston Sports Journal. Greg, I wanted to keep up with this coach discussion here, because I think that's a big discussion both for New England and for Pittsburgh right now. Like you said, mm-hmm. both of these coaches, you know, Bill Belichick's defensive genius goes back to his days working with the Giants, when he was coming up with different looks to confuse the Jim Kelly Bills in the Super Bowl. Like, that guy has forgotten more about defense than most people will ever learn. And that's where you have respect for it. But I hear you on the front that it's like, you know what? In today's day and age,
maybe there is a new system that needs being put in place. Mike Tomlin, his defense is still top 10 this year. They're finding ways to win despite injuries left and right, and they've kept it together. But there has not been a consistent presence of offense since Todd Haley left the Pittsburgh Steelers, and that has certainly had an impact. Even when Ben Roethlisberger was still in town, in 2020 there was a little bit of that for just a short while, and then it kind of went away. 2021 you had the old version of Ben, and then none of the quarterbacks that have come in since him, granted just 1.5 years, but none of those quarterbacks have even had a big game yet. And that's where people have questions. Is the mark of what the NFL needs to be coaching wise? Does it need to be offensive base? Do you think that is the overall thing, or does a defensive coach, if they're going to be a defensive coach at head coach, do they just need to make sure that they are getting the offensive coach to come with them wherever they go?
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, Christopher, I mean, if you're asking me like what I would do if I was running a team in the present day, I would go with the offensive head coach. It might not be the best thing. I mean, there's certainly it's something to be said about the CEO head coach, like, you know, Tomlin and Belichick and Vrabel and Harbaugh and those guys. But, you know, the whole key to the NFL game now, and even Nick Saban said something about this a few years ago when he was asked, this is 5 or 6 years ago even, when he was asked about, you know, how he's adapted on defense, and, you know, about how his defense was great at Alabama. And he said, like, the days of playing great defense are over. And this was when, you know, the way the spread had proliferated through college football, it just, you know, changed things where it's like, you're just not going to hold offenses down. Now, you know, of course the numbers are down in the NFL this year. I think it's a bit of an abnormality. And I think there are different reasons for that. But, you know, if I was starting a franchise, I would find the best offensive head coach, somebody that knows how to coach the quarterback, that can get the quarterback to play great. Because if you play great offense, like, you're going to be in it every single year. You know, look at the Patriots this year. I mean, they play pretty good defense. I don't know where they are as far as DVOA right now on defense. I know I want to say they were 12th in the league going into this last game, you know, but I think, you know, you just look at the Patriots and, you know, they're at least a good defensive team, and that's good for two wins. I mean, I just think that the quarterback is so important, and scoring points is so important in today's game, opposed to 1994 or even 2004 when the Patriots were in their heyday, you know, 20 years ago. You know, I just want to make sure that, especially if I have a franchise quarterback, say, like, you know, look at Justin Herbert in with the Chargers, with Brandon Staley, who is quote unquote a defensive guru, and his defense stinks. But, you know, he's been through different offensive coordinators. He's got Kellen Moore this year. Staley will probably get fired. Now he's going to have another guy. That's no way to raise these guys. And like, you, they need consistency. And, you know, you look at Patrick Mahomes, you know, Andy Reid the whole time, you know, you know, so that's the ideal to me. And I think it's too tough for defensive head coaches. Cause like I said, as soon as their offensive coordinator does anything and proves himself, he's going to get a head coaching job. It's now what do you do now? Not to belabor this point, but
no, yeah,
you know, I covered Nick Saban, his 2 years with the Dolphins. And I thought, one of the most interesting things that I heard him say, because when he came in, so Mike Mularkey was his offensive coordinator his first year, but Mularkey got the head coaching job at the Bills. And Saban made it a point to say, you know, when I was in Cleveland with Bill said, we are only going to have a Patriots offensive playbook. We're only going to have a Patriots defensive playbook. Whoever comes in next is going to operate off of that playbook. And it just, I had never heard that before. And I was like, that's really smart. And that, you know, that's what Saban did when, I think it was, I don't know if it was Jason Garrett or I think it was, no, excuse me, Linehan was his first offense coordinator. He got a head job. Then Mularkey came in. So you need to keep the playbook consistent for these guys. And I think it's impossible with defensive head coaches to do that anymore in this league.
It's certainly getting so hard. And a part of it too, I think, what you said, you know, winning with leading with a defense it takes so much more work because each week you're preparing for what each offense brings to the table, and you're not the ones setting the tone as much. And it's kind of like, you know, if you can get hot with an offense, great, because then that can lead you in a lot of ways. The Steelers, they found a way to stay afloat defensively. I mean, their defense of their in the past mm-hmm. 2.5 seasons. So we're talking what they played 12 games. That's 40. We're talking 46 games. 23, they've gotten 23 wins in those 46 games strictly from holding teams to 20 or less points. They're playing 500 ball just there. Now you look at the other wins, they don't get too many other wins when they get over that stretch there. You know, I believe that would be 25. I think they have like two or three wins when a team goes above that mark there. But that's kind of what they've been trying to do defensively while they've been waiting for the offense to mature. And that's where I think that teams have to make a tough decision. I think a very interesting comparison is to a team the Patriots play a lot, and is the Dolphins. And the Dolphins were a team with Brian Flores, a great defensive mind. And he was a guy mm-hmm. that has a great reputation. And I think he's doing really good things as a defensive coordinator with the Vikings yep. right now. But when he was with the Dolphins, the offense wasn't clicking. They moved him out. They got Mike McDaniels. And now they're one of the best teams in the league. They might be a Super Bowl favorite with the way that they're moving mm-hmm. the ball. And I think it pokes more at the idea that you're suggesting here, that maybe this is just the day and age of the NFL, that the days of a defensive-led head coach needs to be behind most teams.
I think the Dolphins are a perfect example, and I think they are, you know, set up for success, and especially because they did basically the anti-Patriots move where – you know, they believed in Tua, and they basically said, okay, well, what do we need to put around him for him to be successful? And they went out, you know, and got Jaylen Waddle and got Tyreek Hill, you know, brought in Mike McDaniel. And Mike McDaniel went out and hired the best defensive coordinator in the league, in my opinion, in Vic Fangio. And Vic Fangio is not going to get a head coaching job anytime soon. So those two can be together for the next, you know, however long Vic lasts in the league, 10, 15 years. And so, you know, to me, that's the ideal and the power structure that can stay together. And you have Chris Greer, you know, really being aggressive in free agency and things like that. They bring in Jalen Ramsey to help their secondary. You know, to me, I think in a lot of ways that, you know, and I've sort of been writing about this because I just wrote about how, you know, the things are so bad with the Patriots right now, and they seem to get worse by the week, that I think that the Crafts have to entertain or at least explore, hey, do we do a hard reset of this? Do we wash out the Patriot way completely? Do we bring in, you know, I think it behooves them to talk to the best and brightest around the league as far as GMs and say, well, what's your ideal power structure, you know, for an organization? And, you know, I think, you know, the 49ers with Shanahan, it's done in a different way, but I think that's the ideal. I mean, if I'm the Patriots, the first thing I do is call up Adam Peters, who's second in command in personnel with the Giants, with the 49ers, who used to be in New England some time ago, and entertain bringing him in. And, you know, you bring the Shanahan system in, you know, just like McDaniel put in Miami. And to me, that's sort of the ideal now as far as an NFL power structure for a team.
I think it's certainly a way that I think a lot of teams are trying to emulate right now. And, you know, if something doesn't happen soon, I think it might be the team that all the way that all teams start to go, because as we know, this is a copycat league, and we're seeing more and more successes from teams like the Eagles and the Niners, who both are led by guys who were most recently offensive coordinators that were being celebrated. We'll talk more. We'll talk specifically about this matchup in just a few minutes. If you're waiting to hear, just get to the game talk, guys. Don't worry. We're getting there. Stick with us here in the North Shore Drive podcast. A reminder, we're also brought to you by Savinus Kane & Gallucci. They're mesothelioma and asbestos lawyers with over 85 years of experience. Give them a call now for a free consultation. That's Savinus Kane & Gallucci. We're also brought to you by GameTime.co. We're buying tickets for your favorite event. Shouldn't be stressful. Game Time is an app you can download right to your phone right now and get and find fast and easy ways to get tickets to all your favorite events. If you've ever been running like me, sometimes I'm headed to an event. I was trying to wait until the last minute for a big concert in town, and then I get there and I'm not sure what I should get. I see scalpers on the street. Don't go with the scalpers, because you can get scammed very easily trying to find the right tickets. This is where you go to Game Time right on your phone. It's an app. download it. You can see all the tickets available, all the best prices, and you can, and every time you look at a ticket price, it shows you the view right from the seat that you're actually buying, so you know you're not getting scammed. And Game Time gives you amazing prices. They're giving you discounts, and this is on anything from concerts to comedy events to football games, basketball games, hockey games, whatever you're in the mood for. Game Time will help you find tickets. So wherever you're going, it's not just Pittsburgh, it's anywhere. You could go, you could use this app to find tickets for the best prices. And their best price guarantee cannot be beat, because if you find tickets in the same section and row for less somewhere else, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PITTPIT for $20 off your first purchase. Or go to the website, gametime.co. Terms and conditions apply. Create an account and redeem code PITTPIT for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. We're back here on the North Shore Drive podcast. It's the AcroSure Fan Advantage. Chris Carter here with Greg Bedard of the Boston Sports Journal. Greg, let's actually talk about this game now. We've avoided it as long as we could.
Do we have to?
Exactly. Thursday night football. I think last Thursday night football with the Seahawks and the Cowboys, they said it set a record this year for how many people are going to watch it. I think this is going to be the anti-record for how few people have watched this game, because they know that offense is not going to be at a premium unless you're just betting the under and just waiting for that to hit, which absolutely it can. I think it's a 31.5 under, which is like the lowest under in NFL in like the last 5 years in the NFL. But let's get into a few things here. We were talking about the defense. Let's talk about the offense real quick. Is there a set plan that you see for the Patriots at quarterback for this game, and what the Steelers might need to be afraid of if the Patriots were to get anything going offensively?
Yeah, I fully expect Bailey Zappe to start again, especially with a short week. I think that Mac Jones at this point, he's broken. He's a broken player, and he needs to sit, at least if not for the rest of the season, at least for an extended period of time. The offensive line has been horrible and helped get him sped up. And Mac Jones got to a point where he didn't trust anything. He didn't trust the receivers run terrible routes. The offensive line doesn't protect. They had no running game for a while. Now I will say the running game has come on. Now they just lost Ramondre Stevenson to a pretty serious ankle injury. I doubt that he's going to play. They don't really have another running back on the roster, so I anticipate Kevin Harris being brought up from the practice squad. He was a draft pick last year, but got released. He wasn't any good. So I expect him to get in the mix. You know, as far as, you know, Zappe, he's okay. He takes care of the ball. You know, makes pretty good decisions for the most part. Not much of an arm, pretty short. Deflected passes tend to be a problem for him. As far as their receivers, I mean, I assume DeMario Pop Douglas, the rookie receiver, who is by far their best receiver. He's quick as a cat and can do a lot of things. He's sort of like a small slot receiver type. He's battling a concussion, so maybe he does make it back for this game. I'm not sure. That would help things, but not a whole lot to worry about. I mean, Zappe loves to throw jump balls on the sideline to Devontae Parker, especially. You know, the running game's okay, but I think that their offensive line has just been horrendous this season, and they're very inconsistent even with run blocking, and the tackles are coming off Trent Brown and Michael Wenu, who Michael Wenu a week ago had the best offensive line performance that I've graded this year, and this week he had one of the worst. He was just god awful against the Chargers. So you know, they're going to do a lot of quick game stuff. Probably you're going to think this is some of the Matt Canada offense, and they'll take a few shot plays, but that's about it. Not very exciting.
It's the movable objects versus the stoppable force, seems like what's going to be happening in this game. And it's crazy to say, but, like, you know, the Steelers, they faced a few opportunities. The Cardinals were an offensive line they should have obliterated. And for the first half, they did, for the most part. They were stuffing the run, and then once Kenny Pickett got hurt and they turned the ball over on downs one drive, the Cardinals got one drive, and all of a sudden all of that flipped. And you know, I went into the Steelers locker room and I was asking, like, were you guys underprepared? Did you guys get to see looks that you weren't prepared for that they didn't show on film? And they're like, no, we saw everything that we practiced for. We need to execute. But that's on us. And that's where I think this is going to come down to. neither of these teams, I think, are going to be surprised by anything the other side puts out. Both teams are dealing with quarterbacks that they did not intend to be starting at this point of the year if everything went well this year. And both teams have been struggling on offense and living off of defense in the moments that they've been at their best. This game is going to very plainly come down to turnovers, who blinks first in that department, and which defense can create the first big splash moments to give the other to give them the leverage to just lean on the other team until they fall over. That being said, Greg, can you give us your prediction for this game? What's the key, the biggest factor that plays into the result, and your final score?
Well, I mean, look, I think to me, for the Patriots to have a chance in this game, the defense is going to have to turn Trubisky over. I think that the Steelers can do some things. If I were them, I would target J.C. Jackson at cornerback. He'll probably match up with Pickens a little bit. JC can be very aggressive. You can get him with double moves. If the Steelers can protect enough, then I think they should be able to do some things there. They're not great against tight ends either. As far as my prediction, I'm definitely going with the under. I just think that the Patriots play pretty good run defense. That's probably been the best part of their team this year. So they're going to try to shut down the run and make Trubisky beat them. I would encourage Trubisky to use his legs, which he has done against them in the past. I remember one game against the Bears when he was quarterback in the Bears, he almost won the game by himself, just running around against the Patriots. They don't do very well with athletic quarterbacks. So if I were the Steelers, I would incorporate that into their game plan a lot, but I'm not picking the Patriots anymore. I picked them this weekend against the Chargers for I don't even know what reason. I obviously lost my pick. So 13-9, Steelers, something, like
that. You said the score. I'm sorry. Anybody that knows me knows that 13-9 is a special number. I don't know if you know about the history of 13-9, Greg.
No.
Years ago, when West Virginia was destined to be a national champion, the University of Pittsburgh walked in with one of the worst teams they ever had and beat them and ruined their chances with a 13-9 score. So I always just post 13-9 in any team time. So we got a 13-9 prediction from Greg Bedard. Oh, I hope Wes Euler's watching, because somewhere he's pounding a table.
Yeah, I expect Highsmith and Watt to feast. I mean, Owenu's a good right tackle. They pushed him out from guard to right tackle. And normally he's been really good, but I don't know if he was sick this last week. There has been an illness running through the Patriots. I've never seen him play that bad. If he plays like that again, Watt's going to kill him. Highsmith, Trent Brown looks like he's completely checked out on this season. He's playing he's battling injuries, but they put Connor McDermott out there, who's freaking horrible. Cole Strange at left guard is okay, young player, but I expect Hayward to kick his rear end all game. Like, I just don't know how the Patriots are going to do everything. They'll bust out a few trick plays, but they run very simple routes. It's nothing complicated. Minka and those guys should feast in the secondary. I have a hard time seeing the Patriots doing much of anything on offense. I mean, the Chargers were one of the worst defenses in the league, and they didn't penetrate the 28 of the Chargers the entire game. Wow. It was weather, but that was brutal. They didn't even get a red zone trip the whole game.
That's crazy. Wow. Yep. Well, I'm going to roll with your 13-9 prediction. I was going to go with something crazier like 9-5, but I can't turn down a chance to say 13-9 on air here. He's Greg Bedard of the Boston Sports Journal. Greg, thank you so much for joining us. You got anything special to look out for on your website that people should want to read?
Not really. A lot of it's doom and gloom and sort of I have to go, and right now I have to gird up and write my review of the Patriots offense for this game. And so, we're sort of just playing out the string here, and can't wait to get into my second favorite thing, not really, which is draft quarterback talk. So that should be a fun offseason.
Absolutely. He's Greg Bedard. Greg, thanks so much for joining us from the Boston Sports Journal. Get all their work at bostonsportsjournal.com. Get all of our work at post-gazette.com for all the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette work. I'm Chris Carter of the North Shore Drive Podcast. Stay tuned. We'll have our entire crew at Acrisure Stadium Thursday night for covering the game for you, getting all your post-game analysis. And, of course, Friday, we'll be back right here on this show with Brian Batko, recapping what happened and where the Steelers go next after their game against the Patriots.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all the sports coverage from the Post-Gazette that we have to offer, visit post-gazette.com.